Odds are that because of technology, many of us are going to need to find a new line of work. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, Congress has voted, and the federal government will not shut down for now. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is on the story this morning. Mariel, it's funded for how long?
Until mid-January.
And many important issues never made it into the bill.
Right. Republicans were hoping to get more funding for defense, about $600 billion. They only got some of that. GOP leaders decided to hold off until the upcoming spending negotiations in January. And Democrats have been pushing for a couple things, too. They want a deal protecting Dreamers, the young immigrants who came to the U.S. illegally when they were kids. They also want more money for disaster relief in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. But in the end, Democratic leaders also put those things off until next year. Yesterday, the Senate didn't even take up this separate House bill that would have authorized $81 billion for disaster relief. The thinking is they want to lump all these issues together next month when they're negotiating over the budget, that's when they'll have the most leverage.
All right, Mariel, thank you. Now, the euro is down slightly to the dollar, 118.5, with separatists in Catalonia claiming victory in a new referendum about leaving Spain. The Spanish government had been betting on the opposite outcome. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London up 0.1%. Dow and S&P futures are up 0.1% each. The big market story today is the plunging price of Bitcoin, something the Financial Times, among others, is calling a Bitcoin crash. The hard-to-trace digital currency was down 19.6% at one point today, moving below 13,000 for a time, although it's at 13,900 now. The other day, Bitcoin had gotten close to 20,000. Fans of the cryptocurrency will say, yeah, but it was at $1,200 in March. The U.S. has just imposed sanctions against 52 people and entities for human rights abuses and corruption. That includes a military general from Myanmar, responsible for a deadly crackdown on the country's Rohingya, a Muslim minority group. The United Nations is also considering yet another round of sanctions against North Korea for its recent intercontinental missile testing. A vote on those new sanctions may come as early as today. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has some context.
When the United Nations Security Council imposed sanctions against North Korea in August, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley called them the most stringent set of sanctions on any country in a generation. A month later, new sanctions, which she called the strongest measures ever imposed. And now the UN is getting ready to act again. Marcus Nolan is with the Peterson Institute.
Currently, about 90% of North Korea's licit observable exports are under sanction.
So new sanctions may further limit North Korea's access to key imports, like oil. Thing is, how sanctions are written can be really different from how they're implemented. Sung-Yong Lee is a professor at Tufts University.
UN Security Council resolutions are somewhat like an individual's New Year's resolution. At first, there is great compliance and zeal, but ennui, lethargy set in, and then non-compliance followed by blatant violation.
He says enforcement takes time, effort, and commitment from neighboring countries like China. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
When it comes to news about the economy, Marketplace has got you covered. And when you donate $10 a month or more to support the work that we do, you can get a Marketplace umbrella to help protect you from stormy weather. The real thanks you'll get for your gift is when you listen every day, knowing that you're making it possible for Marketplace to make people smarter about the economy and why it matters. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and with your help, we'll be able to do more of it and reach more people as well. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org, and thank you. The great revolution in the workforce involves robots, automation, and algorithms that increasingly can do so much of what humans do now for a living. Our continuing coverage of this on the Marketplace Morning Report is called Robot Proof Jobs. Today, fresh numbers from the research arm of the consulting company McKinsey. By 2030, 375 million workers here and around the world will have to find something different to do because of automation of one kind or another. James Manyika led the study at the McKinsey Global Institute. Mr. Manyika, thanks for coming back on with us.
Well, thank you for having me, David.
So lots of jobs will go in the intervening years. Lots of jobs will be created by new opportunities and technology. But tell me, net positive for the number of jobs or not net positive?
net positive depending on two things. As long as the economy grows and there's enough business dynamism, we'll be net positive on jobs.
Okay, so net positive, but you are talking in this report about, I don't know, a colossal transition for workers around the world, in the U.S. and beyond. Have you ever seen anything like the transition that we're about to see?
Yeah, well, actually, there are two for the United States. One is from agriculture to manufacturing, and then manufacturing to what is now largely a services sector-driven economy. If you think about it, today, only 9% of the U.S. workforce works in manufacturing. That wasn't the case 70 years ago, 50 years ago.
But it's clearly something that needs a lot of public policy focus. I mean, this is not something that government can nibble around the edges on. It's a big deal.
Well, it's a really big deal, and I think there's work for everybody, to be honest. It's not just the government. But just to stay with the government, for example, we one of the things we did look at is, you know, how much do governments, if we looked at OECD countries, how much have they been spending on, as a percentage of GDP, on worker training as well as worker dislocation support? And quite frankly, the report card doesn't look great. Across the OECD advanced economy countries. And the U.S. is relatively at the low end of that. So we've not been spending very much, and we've actually been decreasing the amount of spend for those kinds of worker supports. So that's the, if you like, the report card for the government. The private sector doesn't come off lightly either, because the amount of private sector on-the-job training has also been declining. So I think one of the things we're going to have to think about is, how do we encourage the economic systems, both the private sector and the government, to re-emphasize investment in human capital? We have all kinds of incentives to encourage companies and others to invest in R&D, in capital, et cetera, but we don't quite do as much to encourage investment in human capital. I think that's one of the things that we think is going to have to change.
James Manyika is the director of the McKinsey Global Institute. Mr. Manyika, thank you for this.
Oh, no, thank you for having me, David.
I've got a trio of podcasts about this revolution and the types of work where humans beat robots in the competition for jobs. Marketplace.org/robotproof gets you right there. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week, Brian Allison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.